Hello and welcome to a special post-debate coverage of Irreverent Testimony, the political podcast by and for millennials and Gen Xers from a left perspective. I'm Travis. With me is Rachel.
Hi.
Dana watched the debate with us, but he bowed out.
He did. He was smart.
So, yeah, increasingly these become less and less fun, especially the Republican ones. But I think once we, because this was another quote economic one, but once we get to like, you know, just when they start talking about birth control and immigration and all the fun stuff,
the gays,
then it'll get really, really interesting. But, you know, this was pretty painful. A lot of gobbledygook, a lot of double talk, a lot of like
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
A lot of A plus Z equals banana, therefore Hillary Clinton.
Yep. Disclosure, I am just mad and frustrated and I hate them and I've had a couple drinks. I'm not Dana, I'm not going to McAfee you, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I've noticed that with these, at least increasingly, Rachel seems to get more emotionally involved, whereas I kind of laugh it off. But so one of us, so I guess it'll be like the straight and comic relief thing for this podcast.
Yeah.
Cause Rachel, as usual, took copious notes.
Yeah. I have to take all these notes and then by the end of it, my brain is mush cause I tried to make reason out of nonsense.
Well, to make matters worse, it was on Fox Business and interspersed were like full on propaganda commercials and we'll get to those. And it was just,
trailers for things.
Trailers for propaganda movies by Michael Bay. I was like, wow.
Stay tuned for that.
Okay.
Dawn, stay tuned for that. Anyway.
Anyway, so I guess start us off, Rach.
Right
off the bat, there was a good question that Chris Hayes either looked into his crystal ball and predicted or had inside information that was going to be the first question asked.
Which was?
About the minimum wage.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to start with Fox Business News. Neil Cavuto was kind of the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then some Maria chick and some Gerard British guy. And they cited some polls, whatever. The only people that weren't there that are kind of important at all were Huckabee and Christie. They had less than 2%. So
kind of missed Christie in there. Christie always makes it fun.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the slogan was "Make America Better Tomorrow," and they talked about the minimum wage being $15. And the first question was asked to Trump, and he said, "We don't win anymore. Taxes are too high,
and wages are too
high. Wages are too high.
I don't know what he's talking about.
And I hate to say it, but people have to work hard."
Okay, so everybody's not working hard enough.
So if they worked harder, the wages would be higher?
I don't know.
They should work harder for lower wages?
He's saying too many Americans don't have enough money because they don't work hard enough,
but
is, I guess, what he said.
They work it doesn't make sense.
No.
He's saying the minimum wage should be higher, and he's saying they should work harder, so they should work two jobs? Is that what he's saying?
Well, he was against it, and then who else? I forget who else they asked. Was it Carson?
Oh, yeah. I loved this answer. The starting wage for young people is too high.
Oh, right, right.
Because it's harder for them to break into sort of industry at what is the minimum wage? About $7.85, $7.50,
something like that. So this is what Ben Carson refused to acknowledge, is that you have more and more people trying to make ends meet or you know, make a living or survive on minimum wage jobs. When I was 16, I could go during the summer and get a job somewhere. I worked at the Miami Seaquarium. I worked, I think it was maybe Burger King for a short time. I worked at Red Lobster, you know, just like during the summer when I could. And yeah, those jobs were readily available for teenagers.
Yeah.
And the point was, like, you get your minimum wage and, you know, then you can spend your money on beer on the weekend.
You don't need that money because you're not trying to support yourself in an apartment with a family.
Right.
You're doing it for beer money on the weekends because you're 17.
Right. So Ben Carson still seems to be under the illusion that the people picketing for $15 an hour are like teenagers who just want more money to buy more iTunes or something.
And then he said, higher minimum wage, less jobs. 19% of black teens have jobs because they don't like to work hard, basically.
I'm not sure what he said, but that was par for the course for Carson throughout the night. I don't know what he was saying.
Yeah, every time.
Basically, they're all against the minimum wage, raising the minimum wage.
He said, I needed to work hard to ascend the ladder of oppression, but we have to keep them independent, referring to black teenagers.
So don't raise their wages.
I still don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't.
I never do.
No.
To be fair, you guys, I know that I sound this alarm every time he talks. I literally rewound it a couple of times and tried to rewatch it to get context and ask the people around me.
I was telling you that you're like, wasting your time.
I still don't know what that means.
It's word salad. And I've said this again and again. I am perplexed at the Ben Carson phenomenon, even more so after tonight. I don't know, and I've given up trying to figure it out. He has no knowledge. He makes no sense. Even Rand Paul had to correct him, or was it Trump? Or maybe corrected both of them.
Several people were like, what did he just say? It's confusing.
Rand Paul sounded like one of the more reasonable people there tonight.
So Rubio against it, of course, although he was one of the more like moderate ones about it because he grew up low income, I guess.
Kasich acknowledged that he raised it in Ohio a little bit, so he wasn't like...
And actually, to the credit of the moderators, they acknowledged that all the stuff he was talking about, what we were talking about earlier, with his balancing budget and that stuff, was actually under Clinton.
Right.
And he had to acknowledge that tonight, which he did. Sort of. And then Ohio, governor, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, Kasich made sure to get all his licks in tonight because he realizes this is probably the last time he's gonna be on stage.
Oh yeah, he's done.
So I don't think that went over very well.
We're gonna say bye, Felicia, to him later. But for now, he said exactly what you would expect him to say.
Mostly.
They talked about immigration. That was.
Well, both Kasich and Bush basically came out against trying to deport everybody. So, and that's in what Republican circles is known as amnesty. That certainly won't help either of them. And then Trump said, send them all back. And then the few others kind of weaseled and didn't really take a position. But they couldn't ask everybody about every question.
Right. And then Kasich and Trump had like a big blowout.
Was it about immigration?
Well, I have minimal notes about immigration.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was about.
I don't remember either, but they had like this big blowout. And then... all of a sudden, Jeb Bush said something about Trump, and then Trump said, you should let him talk. And then Jeb said, thank you, Trump, for letting me talk, as though he was moderating the debates, which is sort of a jab at the media and also like a Trump's running the show kind of thing. Immigration, I just have my notes as shit show.
They're going to get into that. They're going to have to get into that in earnest. They don't want to, and Rince Priebus is trying to avoid – he wants every – debate to be about the quote economy so they
everyone was sort of like immigration anyway what I wanted to say about other things
about
like,
taxes
yeah
taxes dominated
minimum wage and
yeah no the people and, care about the minimum wage people don't taxes are not that big a deal outside of the core of the Republican base. They really aren't. They're always pumped up by the media and by the candidates as being a really really huge important thing. The only thing that people care a lot about taxes is that they think the rich generally don't pay enough, and you know these guys all want a 10% flat tax, so that
and people don't. The thing that's amazing about that is people are like, that sounds so fair, and it makes my head want to explode.
Sure,
I get why it sounds fair. The reason that it's not fair is that if you make $10 million.
And you pay $1 million in taxes, you're doing just fine.
Sure, but also when you pay taxes on things like anything, but you have a ton of money, flat taxes don't work.
Yeah,
they don't
work. They don't affect people proportionally.
Correct, and they use that word a lot tonight. Proportionately, incorrectly.
Yes,
they kept saying it's proportionate if you do it as a flat tax, and I kept saying, Princess Bride, like, I don't think that word means what you think it means.
No, it doesn't. Like, take somebody whose income is $30,000 a year, and then you're going to tax them at 10 or 15%, and what's left to go to all of their household budget is pretty much everything. If you make, you know, $200,000 a year and you're paying the same rate, you have a ton more disposable income. This isn't – it's not complicated math to figure that out.
Right. If you make $30,000 and you pay 10%, you know, then you make
with no deductions because they all want to get rid of all the deductions.
No deductions. So you don't get any tax return at the end of the year. Let's make that noted. So there is no tax return.
There's no credit for your kid or your house, no
credit for your kid or your house or your small business or anything else. You just make 10% less than you make now. And for you, that means $27,000 a year. And for someone who makes a million, that means they make $900,000 next year, and I bet they'll be way more able to pay all of their monthly bills and expenses.
Yes, even though they're paying the same percentage, it's not proportional to their expenses,
right,
and their disposable
income.
Right,
because they're paying the same gas tax that you're paying, but they make, you know, 1,000 times more than you make.
Right.
Like it's
exactly.
Flat taxes don't
this
make sense.
It's not complicated to understand this.
Right.
And people do. And that's why, you know, this doesn't go anywhere outside of the base. This was a real,
you know, it's not base. True. Actually, some people in my family that are a little independent and people in my lives are like, well, that makes sense. That seems fair. And then you break it down and they go,
oh yeah,
well, but they're still paying the same sales tax price or the same gas tax. And I'm like, right, but they make a million times more than you and you're paying the same income tax that they do. That makes mm-hmm. no sense.
Right.
So it's a little tough, but if you really break it down, it's, if you
not
think about
really.
Your life versus their life, it kind of doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure at the end of the day it really does, you know.
Well, no, either.
But moving on. So
all
what
right.
was next, Rach?
Jobs. Jobs. Can we create some jobs, guys?
They've decided that every candidate has said that the Kansas brownback route is the way to create jobs.
Oh my God,
and grow the economy.
Kansas is doing
just
awesome right
get
now.
Get rid of all the regulations and all the taxes.
Yeah,
and
totally.
All the jobs will magically spring up.
Rubio was first, and he made a really incomprehensible argument about the telephone versus Candy Crush, which I thought was pretty funny. He said it took like 36 years,
75 years for 100 million or something.
Yeah, people to get the telephone.
And everybody got Candy Crush in a year or something.
And
I
therefore,
don't know. Therefore,
what?
Cut all the taxes?
I don't.
And get rid of all the regulations?
We'll have jobs then.
Then jobs.
We'll have jobs then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, this is the same argument going back to the Reagan years and just cut all the taxes and magically jobs can trickle down and supply side. And does anybody buy that anymore? I mean, outside of the base of Republican voters, does anybody believe that anymore? Think piecers at the National Review and the Wall Street Journal and Fox Business who hosted the debate. Does anybody... I mean,
wealthy people, which trickle down, if anyone doesn't know, it means wealthy people should pay less taxes.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean business owners. It just means
if you have a lot
money,
of money, you should
pay less taxes
because you will spend more money and that money will trickle down into the economy, creating jobs and income. I know it sounds crazy, but hear me out. Creating jobs
this
and
is
income.
The theory.
For people.
Right.
Now, Travis and I think would equally argue that let's say that we gave that money instead to people who have no money
mm-hmm.
or limited money or like even say middle class people. If they had an extra 5, 10, 20 grand in their pocket,
they'd spend it.
Let's go on vacation.
Let's
buy a car, honey.
Let's buy a car.
Hey, the kid needs to go to college.
Let's buy a house.
It's not going into savings.
Let's go
it's
out
not
to
going
dinner.
Into the stock market.
Twice a week.
Uh-huh. Let's go out to dinner. We have all this extra money now.
The money.
Let's put it back into the fucking economy.
There is no doubt whatsoever that more money, doing it the complete reverse of what these guys want to do, more money in the hands of middle class and poor. That money gets spent and that grows the economy.
It gets put directly back into the economy.
Right. They believe the exact opposite.
Right.
They believe if you give more money
to the very, very rich, then it's
dependent. If it goes to the poor, it makes them dependent. If it goes to the rich, that trickles down and creates all these wonderful jobs. Well, they've had two wonderful test cases of this in both Florida and, under Rick Scott and in the hyper version of it in Kansas.
In the U.S. under Reagan, he invented it.
Well, his first term it went badly. Then the economy finally grew, and there's some arguments as to there's a struggle.
Cat fight.
The cats are reenacting the Kasich versus Trump argument. Yeah,
sorry. Yes,
So
Kansas and Florida. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what they believe, and they're just putting that into hyperdrive now. I mean, they're going further than Romney did, further than McCain did, with what they want to do, and in. And in terms of what's going on with income inequality, which they kind of glossed over, I think it was kind of asked, but their idea is we create really hyper crazy income inequality and then it'll trickle down. Okay.
If we just double down on this terrible idea, it will get better probably, people won't just keep investing it in the stock market. They're going to have to spend it. How many yachts can you buy, Trev? Do you know? With $1 trillion.
I don't know.
How many yachts do you need?
But the rich people and the corporations are doing the exact opposite.
They have
They're
to
stashing
eventually
it under
hire
their pillow.
Someone to staff their yachts, right?
Not
job creators.
Not if the tax code keeps just making them richer and richer without having to spend any money and create any jobs.
Yeah. Okay. So other job related news. Ted Cruz. My mom was a blah blah blah. This is the classic Republican line about Medicare, Medicaid, and entitlements. Current seniors, who by the way vote.
Yeah.
No change.
No.
Young people. Fuck you. Yes. We're going to privatize it.
And raise the retirement age. And fuck your student loans.
Definitely not going to ever have it, but definitely you're going to pay your student loans. And then they called the Democrats the party of amnesty and said if we will lose if it's an economic issue because it's personal. Which I thought was an interesting argument coming from Ted Cruz. He was basically saying if we make this an issue about morality and about money, we'll lose. And I said, yeah, that's exactly correct.
That's exactly right.
But he was saying that we they shouldn't because of the economy.
Yeah.
I guess.
Did we get to the first commercial break by this point yet? Because this is.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yes.
So this was when the first during the first commercial break, there's a new Michael Bay movie about
Ben. Let's just do this
about
yeah.
Benghazi.
I'm so mad, you guys. Oh
and it's it is sort of like ghostwritten by Daryl Issa and Terry Gowdy, apparently.
Well, it's called 13 Hours.
Yeah.
It's by direct by Michael.
That incredible filmmaker, that great auteur, Michael Bay.
Of Transformers for the Dark Light of the Sun or whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
And somebody actually says in the middle of it, stand down, which was the supposedly
it's
what
the
Hillary
true
Clinton
story
said.
That was never told.
The
Travis.
True story that was,
it was the true story that was never told. And basically they tell the story that the Republican Party tried to tell at the Benghazi hearings, which is that someone told the military to stand down during the Benghazi terrorist attack, and the military personnel on the ground said, we will not stand down. There's like four guys are going to save the day and they all die and it's Hillary Clinton's
I think
fault.
It was based on
and
that.
And it's a fucking Michael Bay movie that's literally like, we will not wait.
No, it was based on that one guy who got outed as a complete liar, I think, already. And I forget his name, but it was, I think it was NPR that outed him as a complete liar.
Oh, fuck that guy. I forgot about him.
Yeah. So I think it's a script. So that was laughing. I mean, we were cracking up.
Well, everyone else was. I was ready to throw things at my television. I was not happy with tonight. But that was amazing.
That was a crazy propaganda movie that's going to come out
in the middle of
next year.
The debate, though.
In the middle of the debate.
There's like a
and it wasn't even a foreign
ad.
Policy debate. It was supposedly economy.
There was
debate.
Like a campaign ad about like Social Security and how we're going to take it away from them.
Right.
And then there's just this like, you know, Christmas blockbuster, amazing thing by Michael Bay. And it's this propaganda movie.
About the fake Benghazi story.
And then it's like, anyway, back to the Republicans. In case you forgot,
man.
Hillary sucks. And you're like, what the fuck was that? What was that? What is that?
It's amazing.
Oh my God, it was awful.
That is amazing.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Next. We were talking about taxes. So they talked to Ben Carson first, and they wanted to talk to him about tithing. Because that's his whole thing, right?
Right. Biblical tithing is fair and everything from the Bible.
And he keeps trying to go back on that and say, like, I'm not saying I'm basing it on the Bible. I'm saying, and he literally said, and I'm going to quote him here because I wrote this down. God is a pretty fair guy, so this must be a pretty fair tax.
Okay.
That's a quote.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you guys want to take that other than, okay.
It wasn't very fair to Job. My opinion, or Abraham, or
Jesus, or you know, anybody, but you know, it's fine. So tithing 15% because God's fair. Then he kept using the proportionality argument,
which that word doesn't mean what he thinks it means.
It's very Princess Bride,
no.
And then he used this whole thing about how this is amazing back in the day in 1913.
Yeah.
P.S. before the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm. Before women's suffrage.
Before anything, really. People had homes. Now, that's a good thing to say. People had homes in 1913. Yeah. Travis, would you say people had homes?
Some people.
Some people did. When would you say the average American was able to buy a home?
The average American? The average white, non-white American?
Just average American was able to purchase a home.
Like with a normal job or whatever?
Yeah.
40s,
50s, 60s?
That was the boom, yeah. When it was very affordable.
Because the New Deal.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, before 1913, people had them. Ben Carson would like you to know. Before they had any kind of
huts?
Home deduction. No, before we had a
home
deduction.
We weren't hunter-gatherers on the plains?
Before that, we had homes. So we don't need the deduction because in 1913, we had homes.
And there was no deduction
on
the books?
No mortgage. What we're talking about is the mortgage interest deduction, which is why most people buy homes. One of the reasons I bought one.
Okay.
Also, he would like to get rid of the charity deduction because before 1920, we had churches.
Oh, did we?
We did. Apparently, okay. We had churches.
And they were the only ones that did charity.
They still are, I think, according to Ben Carson.
Right, right.
And so before that deduction, charity was still there. So really...
So really, there's no point having it.
No point in having it.
Yeah, he makes a compelling argument.
So, and then his last statement was... I care about poor people.
Oh, okay, good.
So
well, I'll take his
great.
Word for it because he's proven to be very trustworthy and honest if this last week has revealed anything.
We had homes, churches existed, and I care about poor people.
This guy is he's very sleepy, and he was slurring his words a little bit towards the end. I seriously think he's on drugs.
Oh,
I'm not
he's
even
definitely
kidding.
On drugs.
Yeah, but this guy Carson, I still don't get it. But he got very little airtime tonight, which is probably for his benefit. Because
on purpose, I think.
I don't know if anybody really helped themselves. Maybe Carly and Rubio a little, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Everybody else, it was just gobbledygook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we get to Rand Paul, because taxes.
Taxes, right.
So we got to talk to Paul.
Okay.
He says he has a plan, 14.5% flat tax, of course.
Yeah, they're all going with the Steve Forbes flat tax, which is never going to work.
No.
It'll never get through Congress. It will never.
And his is less than the tithing tax because, we'll get to that later. But
why
he wants to, quote, choke off government revenue.
Okay.
Because it's best spent in the private sector. And when the Fox News person asked him how he was going to make up for the additional cost for Ben Carson because his was 15%, his
right,
was 14
right,
and a half.
Right.
He said basically, it's so small you can barely see it, so don't worry about it. And then he's talked about this penny plan. Can you tell me anything about what the fuck
it's
that
just
is?
Half a percent of all the tax revenue in the country. It's not, you know, what's $1 trillion between friends?
Yeah. And then he says, and there's going to be no payroll tax.
Okay. I like the sound of that in theory.
And then he said proportionality. Everyone gets a tax cut. Peace.
Okay.
And he didn't explain anything.
Now tell me, was this like some, because the lady kept talking about the Facebook metric and the bigger, bolder words is what people were talking about on Facebook.
Yeah.
So is taxes a real big thing? I thought with everything
that's
going on.
It didn't seem like it to me. So you know how when you go on
a
website.
Or is it just because it was an economic debate, they all pretended that it was a big deal.
And they have the big words are the ones that people search the most and
right,
the small
right,
words
right.
are the
least. Twitter does that, yeah.
Right. Taxes were nowhere. Homeland Security was one. And I'm sure this is a search term that Fox News chose. But taxes really weren't on it. It was
But now
Homeland
two debates.
Security
they've
and
been,
whatever.
They've been losing their mind about reforming the tax code.
What else are they going to talk about? They can't talk about
They can't talk about the gays yet.
No, people are going to get freaked out. So
well,
they
they're
going
to have to talk about that eventually in these debates.
Hammer away.
Or maybe they're not going to talk about it at all. We're not going to get to that till there's a Republican candidate and they're going to have to say they hate the gays.
Well, then the Democrats are going to be let's talk about gays and abortion and marriage and all kinds of things.
Well, they do that in their debates. But these guys they're avoiding it as long as they can. They can't avoid it forever. There's going to have to be they're going to have to do one of these town hall things where they're answering questions or there's going to have to be social issues debate, right?
I don't think so because I think that they're all so socially conservative and they don't want to say it out loud on TV. Now they'll go to the thing.
You know what? The natives are going to get restless about that though.
I agree. But the thing is, remember the thing we were watching the other day or heard about was there was that conference where the super, we should kill all the gays guy.
Yeah.
In the United States, by the way, we're not talking about Uganda. And Ted Cruz and Rubio,
I think.
Rubio and I think Jindal.
Yeah.
All went to this conference where they were hosted by this guy who thinks gay people should be executed in the U.S.
Yeah.
Now, that was not on TV.
Nope. Sure so as hell didn't come up in this
debate. They can
rouse
the base doing that stuff. They just don't want to say it on, like, a national stage.
No, but you know what? These Iowa people and these other people are sitting here watching, and for now, they're letting it go because, okay, the topic was economics. But they're going to start getting pissed off.
This is number two. Like, that's boring.
Yeah, but
then,
in...
But hear this one. Ready? Ted Cruz says this. The system isn't fair. The tax codes has more words than the Bible. So okay. You see how he did that?
Bible? But that's not enough. The evangelicals in Iowa want to hear, you know, when are you going to round up the gays? When are you going to overturn the Supreme Court marriage?
When are you going to rip birth control out of my body?
Yeah, when...
And make me have vaginal ultrasounds and
when
forced
motherhood? Are you going to imprison all the Black Lives Matter people? I mean, they're going to want to hear this stuff. They can't dodge it forever.
Who's going to be the most awful? They do. You're right. Is it going to be closer to the primaries, do you think?
I don't know.
I know.
It's kind of getting weird.
The closer to the primaries you get, the more the moderate sort of like, we have to have an actual candidate people come out.
Not
so
before Iowa.
To me,
in the few weeks before Iowa.
It's when it gets the most crazy.
Yeah, and I think there's a debate like a week before, I want to say, 10 days before the Iowa caucus.
Oh, I think you're right.
So they're going to have to vomit all the bile out on us then.
Agreed.
But, okay, moving on from that, we'll stick with this debate.
So... God, they talked about taxes forever. We're just
Let's
have
just
to get
enough
really
with the
quick.
Fucking taxes.
It's just the same shit, right? Cruz 10% flat tax. One thing Cruz wants to do is abolish the IRS.
Oh right. Completely. Yeah.
The IRS is gone.
Happen.
I would like to ask him a question that I would like to have been a follow up tonight, which is: you have a 10% flat tax on individuals and a 16% business tax.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to abolish the IRS. Who is going to collect those taxes, please? How's that
Ted Cruz personally on his rickshaw?
Is that his campaign staff or like
I don't know
a different government organization?
I don't know
someone. Okay, if we could just ask him that sometime, that'd be great. Bush, boring.
Yeah,
Jeb.
I thought Jeb took off the gloves.
Hillary.
He didn't go after Rubio. He only went after Hillary
every time.
But the most memorable thing he said tonight. Was that he doesn't want to deport everybody, which is not going to help him. I don't think he gains any traction from this.
No. And that's way later. But no. Every other time he talked, which wasn't that often because he doesn't have that high of poll numbers.
No.
It was, I want to do something boring and Republican and I hate Hillary. It was
generic.
My notes are like, says nothing, made some note about some, oh God, that was so funny. The brothers Jonathan and Reagan Love, and then he went, Reagan Love, what a great name. And then he like paused
crickets.
For like an applause
break.
He
thought that was
going to
be something.
And
nothing.
It was fucking crickets. It was great. And then he's like, Hillary is bad. And anyway, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then Rubio tried to be like low income single mothers. And then him and Paul got into a spat. Because Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Was trying to say that Rubio is not fiscally conservative because he's proposing
a new
things that help
family
people.
Credit something.
Yeah, for like single mothers to help them because important job is moms and values and stuff, which is great.
I'm glad Rand did bring up the fact that these guys scream about the deficit so much. And they all want to add hugely to the debt. I mean, they don't say they want to, but their plans all would. Which Republicans always have. Reagan ran up the deficit.
Yeah.
G.H.W. Bush ran up the deficit. Crazy. W obviously ran up the deficit. So,
yeah.
What
was interesting was Rubio's...
Rand's the only one they would call him out on it.
And when he did, this was so disgusting. Rubio said, Mr. Paul, we are raising the future taxpayers of America. That's a direct quote. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not future citizens.
Future tech. That's how we're seeing.
You know, engineers, doctors, lawyers, goodwill, Peace Corps. No, future taxpayers of America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we learn those values from our mothers, so we should help them, which is disgusting. Anyway, Rand Paul was the only one that was like, you can't be a fiscal conservative if you keep proposing new programs to help people and military.
Right. Well, he didn't talk about how these tax cuts for the rich blows
also
up the deficit.
Raise the deficit. Yeah. Exactly. It's new programs that are the problem.
Right.
Yeah. And then something Cruz about sugar subsidies?
Yeah, sugar subsidies are going to fix his deficit.
Yeah,
just stopping stop sugar subsidies.
Yeah, just stop those. Yeah. It's fine. Fiorina was really crazy.
But I think she probably helped herself with the bass tonight.
Oh, she definitely did. She sounded confident. She said some things that didn't make sense unless if you know what she's talking about, but they looked like they made sense.
Right.
She said...
she brought up the Sixth Fleet thing again.
Yes, she did. She was talking about you can move every single dollar of discretionary funding in order to lower taxes and lower spending.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, every dollar can be cut and then we will increase jobs. And I thought, every dollar can be cut. And as CEO of Hewlett-Packard, you cut 10,000 jobs. So that makes sense to me.
Right.
That she looks at things from this very black and white. Every lower dollar the bottom can be line. Cut. I don't give a shit what that dollar is. If that's someone's salary, if that's someone's benefits, if that's someone's anything.
Right.
Every
right.
dollar can be cut. And she yeah, it's all about 10,000 people.
It's so all about the bottom line because yeah. if the business survives, that's good for everybody because supply side trickle down. This is their religion. This is their Bible. This is all they believe in.
Yeah, exactly.
Even
and,
though it
yeah.
doesn't
and as
work.
CEO, she did exactly that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so for her, I'm like, well, that's at least honest. I don't give a shit about you. Yeah. I will absolutely cut your job if it saves my company or yeah. my whatever.
And in this case, the United States is the company. And if our bottom line is solvent, that's good for everybody because
and
Reaganomics
every,
magic.
Everybody is the 1%.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then we went to free trade, interestingly. Talked about the TPP
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, that was weird, and you could definitely sense they didn't know what to do with this, because Republicans yes. have always been for free trade, but they have yeah. to be against Obama.
Oh my God.
And Obama just had TPP pass, and this is one of his signature accomplishments, so they have to kind of be against it,
they
sort of.
Fucking just
they didn't know what, it's
no
like,
what
do we do with
say?
This?
Trump was the first one, and he was like, I'm a free trader, he says. I'm a free trader.
But this deal is terrible, it's
100%.
The worst thing ever, and China.
But we need smart people, not dumb ones.
Right, yeah.
And then he talked about China for a long time and how China was manipulating the deal.
The currency, manipulating their currency, which he's always talking about.
Right, that and the TPP. And then Rand Paul, really had the biggest line of the night. The only smart thing that was said, maybe, he goes, hey, I'd like to just point out China was not part of this deal.
Yeah, no, no.
It, and then the moderators, I swear to God, the moderators went, oh my God, you're right. Hey, wait, Trump, hold on, everybody.
Look, it's clear Trump has.
They made a good point.
Trump has no yeah. idea what's in the TPP, he has no idea what's in the Iran deal. It's just.
Neither did the moderators, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad, therefore.
And the anti-trade
Obama
guy
did
went,
it, so it's bad.
Hey, by the way, everything you just said is bullshit because China's not a part of it. And everyone went, shit.
Well, they all also right. sounded like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has been
yes.
very forcefully against TPP.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Trump did, especially. Trump sounded like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
He was
so,
talking about like,
so it
it's
became
bad for wages,
very,
it's bad for workers,
right, right.
it's bad for, yeah.
They're just,
yeah.
they're against it because Obama is against it.
They're against it because it's shit. And then they go, but I'm a free trader.
Well, if it was a bill that Obama had vetoed, and said like Bernie Sanders type things and said these trade deals are bad, they would have been, you know, this Obama is fucking up the trade deal and we need it for the economy. So it was just an obvious sort of knee-jerk, Obama did it because it's a bad thing, but it didn't make any sense if you're really paying attention or listening.
Right. And then I'm going to rag on Rand Paul for a minute because he said something really smart that caught everyone by surprise and he
right.
was absolutely right. And then he said something absolutely wrong. And he talked about how we are moving away from the Constitution and we are giving the president more power than the Constitution intended
right,
in terms
right.
of treaties.
Right, right, right.
And I went, wait a minute.
But this is under the TPP discussion.
Yes. However, I would just like to point out for all you out there, Rand Paul's full of shit. We are not moving in any direction. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution empowers the president, not Congress,
mm-hmm.
to propose and chiefly negotiate agreements between the U.S. and other countries.
Yeah. Yep, look it up.
The U.S. Senate.
Ask your Tea Party uncle because he has his pocket constitution on him, probably.
This is what you're going to tell him. The U.S. Senate has advice and consent, just like Supreme Court justices, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So his assertion that the Congress should be negotiating these things and the president is overreaching is total horseshit.
Yeah, and the Congress approved his fast track authority.
They did.
They didn't have to.
Also,
they didn't have to, but they did.
What they did was they did exactly their job. They advised and consented. And it passed.
And he passed it. So it was whether you like it or not.
Per the original writing, this is not even like, this is Article and look, 2, Section 2, Clause 2. This isn't like Amendment 97.
No. And look, this and is understand, original shit. Understand, Rachel and I aren't necessarily huge fans of this deal.
No. You know,
we probably lean more to the not crazy about it.
No, I don't even like it very much. But yeah. That's just bullshit to say that somehow Obama overreached in his presidential authority to make a treaty about trade. That's just not true.
That's not true. It's there in black and white in the Constitution.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not people like Rand Paul supposedly love. Saying he's wrong.
He's bullshitting. He knows.
I know, right?
He's bullshitting to his crowd that waves around their pocket Constitution and hasn't cracked it open past the Second Amendment. No.
Yeah, the Second. Exactly. Right. All right. Ready?
Yes.
All right. Next was terrorism.
Because economics.
Because Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Syria had the most deaths, and they would like to know what we were going to do about that.
Yeah.
And they asked Carson. Yay.
I don't remember what he said. You're going to have to remind me.
It's good. He talked about the 50 boots in Syria that Obama was going to
put in. Oh, right, the 50 special forces.
Mm-hmm, the special ops. And then he said, the 50 special ops is better than not having them there.
Okay.
And then he said, Putin uses this as his base with China. And it's there. Basically, he was implying through a lot of sleepy words that Putin
sedated
and China have a base that they share in Syria.
You're right. Right.
That and then he said that the U.S. can't give up ground there to Putin and China.
In Syria.
The ground in Syria that we currently have, Trevor, remind me?
None.
Oh, right. We don't have any.
None, mm-hmm. none. Some and people want a no-fly zone, but
Putin and China have together. Just a secret message Carson got? Okay, cool. And then.
Yeah, that Black Jesus sent to him.
Then he from his painting. Quoted Trump, and he said, we're going to make them look like losers. Because we're going to take this is a quote.
But was he talking about the Assad regime or the Russians or the Chinese?
The Russians.
We're
going to make the Russians look like losers by taking the energy field from them. Quote.
Wait, but that was in Iraq.
Well, it's hard to know. So it's all in the same sentence. Because
then he started talking about Iraq.
Yes.
Because he's talking about oil fields in Iraq.
Correct.
I think.
Right. But that's about Russia. This is all about Putin and Russia.
This is all about Putin and Russia.
And we're going to take the energy field. I'm assuming he's not talking about like X-Men style energy fields. I think he's talking about oil.
They're oil fields.
I think so.
Yeah, I think. I don't really know.
But in Iraq from Russia, quote, fairly easily.
Because some general told him. Probably the same general that told him to get a full ride to West Point.
Right. Exactly. It's hard. And then we're going to continue to face them rather than run away from them.
Okay.
And we can't figure out if them is Syria, Russia, Iraq, Afghanistan, ISIS, or who.
It was word salad.
It was. I literally rewound it. I'm not kidding you guys. I tried really hard this time. I was like, I want to understand what he's trying to say. We tried really hard.
Now understand. It was nonsense. His quote supporters that love him. For some reason, love his weird, sedated style.
Can they explain to me what he's saying?
No, of course not.
Okay.
They couldn't begin to explain what the fuck he just said.
Do they even know what those differences are?
No. Okay. Come on.
All right. I'm just asking because I really tried this time, you guys. I tried to not just write him off because he's the front runner. So I was like, I need to understand why people like that. No, there's no understanding. Unless, if anybody out there is a Carson supporter, let me know.
Yeah. If you can explain to us what he was trying to say with the whole Syria, Russia, China, take the oil field back and do something with it.
I'll honestly do a Skype with you for free, and we will watch the thing together, the actual
And you can explain thing, to us and you can what explain he to was me trying to
what
say.
He's talking about.
Yeah, and whether it was good or bad or whatever, because we honestly have no idea what he was trying to say.
I don't even know who he's talking about when he says they at any point. Other than the beginning.
Well, I don't
so,
think he does either.
Yeah.
This is another thing about Carson, okay? Ben Carson doesn't really prepare very well for this kind of stuff. he does sort of he glosses over sort of the very Palin style. And this is why a lot of people think, oh, sure, Carson's, quote, leading right now, but he's just building his big Ben Carson brand so he can have the Ben Carson channel and the Ben Carson show and the Ben Carson book tour and make a shit bazillion dollars. But, you know, he gets tripped up by some very simple stuff, and I don't really think he knows the particulars of
But he's pulling off this, like, sleepy smart doctor thing. Like, you know what? All we're going to do is... We're just going to face them and, you know, take the energy field. People go, he's so smart. I don't get it. I don't talk that slow, I realize. But
it got to the point where he was starting to slur and trip over his words.
Yeah. And the last couple questions. Especially when he's been now the front runner and he's been sort of faced with media. He's getting mad. So like the sleepy doctor is like becoming this like, y'all are assholes. And this
up, like you've been dealing with a lot of bullshit. And then he brought up Hillary Clinton and said, well, Hillary Clinton doesn't get the scrutiny and she can, she can tell her daughter that the Benghazi attack was a terrorist attack, but then talk about a movie. And I'm like, oh, right. Cause she didn't get scrutinized for 11 straight hours on Capitol Hill about that the other day. Right.
Nor has she been vetted for the last, let's see.
Nor do we have a 16-month investigation with a special committee.
Her husband started running in 88, 89.
Yeah. But the point is you can't have it both ways. You can't try to bring up a Hillary zinger about how she doesn't get vetted when, you know, you're okay with, you know, 11-hour interrogations.
Right. It's but like, what I'm saying is she's been
and then complain because
for,
a reporter asks you.
For 20 years. She's been being vetted for 20 years. She doesn't have to get vetted now. We know every possible dirty secret there is to know about her entire life.
Yeah.
Less real, the last, I don't know, 3 months.
Real and imagined.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's going to be plenty more.
And she's done hearings on many of them longer than he's done an interview.
Right.
Anyway. Okay. Enough defending our people. Let's talk about the nonsense. Bush, still talking about terrorism. Greatest threat is Islamic terrorism.
Right, and we should have stayed in Iraq the whole time, I guess, is what he was saying. We should have never left Iraq, which
and
that's going to go over with the American public really well.
Yes, he would like to, he doesn't think that Obama believes in American leadership. He thinks that we should completely abandon the refugees. They should go. But not to Europe, not to the U.S., and not stay in the region, which was confusing for me.
No, I thought what he said was if we create, quote, safe zones, and I don't know how we would do that.
Where are these going to be?
He didn't say.
Like, it's not fair for the other
countries.
No,
he never
to
gets into
them.
Specifics.
But that, so
no,
what
no.
I'm saying
what,
is
what
like,
he said was we create, quote, safe zones inside Syria and no-fly zones, and then the refugees can just stay there. But there was no specifics behind it, so it was just gobbledygook.
It was
throwaway
awful.
Words.
And then also, don't talk to Russia. So he's very much his brother's brother in this way of, we have this really serious problem. We shouldn't talk to anyone ever because...
Assad, and Rand Paul was able to bring this up again.
Yeah.
So Assad, you know, invited the Russians in to fight the anti-Assad and supposedly ISIS people that are against him. And then the Iraqis also invited the Russians in. And so a lot of these people are talking about creating no-fly zones, even Hillary Clinton. And then these Russian planes were invited by the standing governments of these countries. So I guess they want to start a war with the Russians. I mean, I don't really know where they're going with that.
It's very much this thing that Carly Fiorina brought up later, which was, it shows weakness if we talk to people we're upset with, which Obama, I know that a lot of people may not remember this, but under George W. Bush, this was very much the doctrine. Like, we won't have bilateral talks.
No,
we will never talk to anyone we're upset with.
Right.
It's like if you went to relationship counseling and you looked at your therapist and said, I'm mad at him. I'm never speaking to him again, but I don't want to not be married
right
anymore. Like, you can't not talk to them. It's very George Bush. And there were two candidates tonight who mirrored that almost exactly. One was, of course, his brother, and one was Fury. And both of them said, it shows weakness if you speak to them.
And this is when I got the feeling that besides a few buzzwords, like when they said middle class and poor people and income inequality, this was generally a base debate. It was just all red meat to the base all day, nonstop. It was.
I mean, the last debate was at least a little about the economy. I don't think you and I have talked about the economy more than about... 10 minutes,
right?
You know, I mean, they didn't.
No,
they didn't. They talked about terrorism.
It was all very circular. Red meat to the base. Carly Fiorina even brought up Scott Walker.
She did. So, I want to talk about Trump for a second because his big thing has always been like, "I'll make good deals and I could get along with anybody," and Trump's going to be my bitch, basically. He didn't want to talk about that anymore because he's kind of being taken more seriously.
And he didn't go after Carson, which I was surprised about.
No, he didn't. He dodged. He talked about how dangerous it was that North Korea has a bomb.
Oh, yeah, that's right. China has a bomb. North Korea.
And him and Putin. Oh, my God. This was my favorite part of the whole debate.
Yeah, we should be scared of Putin, but he can deal with Putin because they hung out in the green room.
They hung out in the green room. Not you guys. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. He literally said, "We got to know each other very well when we were on 60 Minutes together." Okay. I'm not kidding. That's a direct quote. He's like, "We were in the green room. We got to know each other very well." How long do you imagine people are in the green room?
Oh, it depends. I mean, it depends how early you get there.
A couple hours.
Yeah, not more than an hour.
And you're not like doing diplomacy or
no.
No, you're just shooting the shit. Maybe having
some hors d'oeuvres and
a
glass of wine, and
maybe get your makeup done.
Yeah.
Well, him and Putin are tight because they were on 60 Minutes in the green room together. And to be fair, Fiorina hit him hard on that, which I loved. She said, "I met Putin not in a green room, but I know how to talk to him." Blah blah blah. But anyway, Trump.
But wait! I thought they didn't want to talk to him though.
She doesn't. She knows how to, but she doesn't think we should. She's good at it, but she thinks it's a terrible idea.
See, here's the thing.
Try to explain it to me. I'm
trying to understand.
From listening to them.
And like, you know, I covered by myself the last Democratic debate. And think of it what you want. And our friend Jeb Lund was very hard on the candidates. But at the very least, you got some concrete policy and ideas out there. And it was mostly coherent, whether you liked it or not. But these Republican debates are just celebrations of incoherence. I mean, I know that the base is just hanging on. Just they like the buzzwords. You know, you say terrorist, you say immigrant, you say Hillary Clinton's bad, and they cheer and they fist pump and they high five. But if you're really listening, if you're trying to glean policy from this and what these people are going to do, But I'm talking about people in general. Let's eliminate the partisans for a second. Let's even eliminate us. Let's eliminate our dads, and just think about sort of what's remaining of your semi-partisan or non-partisan person that's interested in seeing what these candidates are about. Are you gleaning any sort of coherent ideas and policy from this?
No.
I mean, seriously.
I mean,
I
don't know.
And I know we're biased, but...
I know. I tried, though. I really... And taking me out of it, I also am trying to convince a couple of independents in my life of how they should vote. And I'm trying to glean some substance to be like, he said this. That's not like a crazy thing he said to make him sound crazy, but like this is a specific policy he has that's going to offend you.
Yes.
I could find none of those in there because there weren't even any that wouldn't offend these people. There were none.
Right.
At one point, Trump said that... And I think this is Trump being Trump off the cuff, right?
It usually is.
Because he said some things that were pretty rehearsed tonight.
Oh, sure.
And at one point he said, "We don't know who we are arming over there."
Okay.
Okay, fair. Like in Syria and all these places, right?
Yeah, and sometimes that's true.
And I love wounded veterans. And so instead of arming the people we armed, we should have given the wounded veterans the money.
Okay.
Now, I don't think that's a solid thought out proposal. I don't think it's a terrible idea to give wounded veterans more money.
Right.
I just don't think that, him being like the $3 trillion we gave to Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq and Afghanistan, we're going to give that to I don't think he thought that out.
No.
And he got some shit for it. Now, it's not a terrible idea, but it's not something I think he thought out really clearly. And Bush gave him a lot of shit. He was saying basically, this is risk, not monopoly.
Right.
Right. Like, you're a real estate broker and
you don't know what you're talking about.
This is war and you don't know what you're talking about. Right. And Then he like brought up Christians, even though, and then he said Islamists instead of Muslims because, of course.
Well, he was about to say Muslims, and then and he then realized he, yeah, that that would be a bad thing to say. Corrected himself
and said Islamists.
He said that other moderate Islamists are getting killed too, because he can't say moderate Muslims because then he's an apologist for Muslims, and
well,
the
an
party
Islamist,
the party line is to hate the Muslims.
An Islamist is a really specific term.
Sure.
That means extremist, right. Islam person.
Right. So saying moderate say Islamist Muslim. Doesn't even make any sense.
No, you can't say Muslim. You have to say Islamist because that implies that everyone who's Muslim.
Because you can't piss off the base. Right.
Yeah. 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 So that was disgusting, but you know, expected.
Typical. Yeah.
And then, yeah, Rand Paul was like, you guys, don't be G.W. Bush. We have to talk to Russia. We also, though, he's very much like an isolationist and sounded a little like Bernie Sanders and even, I think, said, like, I agree with some of what Bernie Sanders said. Like,
yeah.
You know, we don't need to be doing everything all the time. Yeah.
Rubio called him an isolationist.
Yeah.
Oh, and we should say John Kasich interrupted just about every one of these questions to say incoherent things I didn't remember.
Yeah, he didn't. And they didn't give him really any time. He just kept saying like,
you just kept interrupting.
Stop it.
Said I was governor.
I was governor of Ohio. Don't you remember? That doesn't mean anything in this.
No,
particular
he was the only guy I remember that actually got booed a couple times for. I don't remember exactly for what.
Oh, we'll get there. It's
okay.
Coming up.
Okay.
Rubio called Putin a gangster.
A gangsta.
Gangsta. And Travis was right to point out, actually, it's KGB.
Yeah, no, he's a big KGB guy, not a gangster.
President has no strategy, Obama's weak, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, Israel, he doesn't suck BB's dick enough, basically. Like,
well, no, that was like, that was
not good enough. And both you and I were like, they literally met this week.
Well, that was sort of a rehearsed line, I think, that he had to throw out there, even though, yeah, Obama and Netanyahu met and made kissy face this week.
They did. Him and BB met this week. Barry and BB were like, what's up? We're going to try to do this. It's going to be okay. And then he's like, he hasn't even tried to reach out to Netanyahu. And you're like, oh, did you not know what day it was?
Yeah, but among the Republican base, Netanyahu is more popular than Obama.
Right, and he said they're our greatest ally, yeah. And all we've done is mess with them, essentially.
And we can never question anything they ever do,
because
they're perfect
ever.
And amazing, and we love Israel. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Kasich was talking about, this was one of those weird things for him. He's definitely grasped me at straws, because he's about done.
Yeah, yeah.
After tonight, he's definitely done, but...
I would think.
He was talking about... the Chinese takeovers of U.S. companies, and that was confusing. The moderator was talking about how some Chinese companies have a majority.
Well, they've always done that scare thing.
I'm so sorry.
Remember Network in the 70s, the Arabs were buying everything with oil money.
Right.
And then in the 80s, the Japanese were buying everything. And now it's the Chinese buying everything.
Right. But they're buying like majority stakes in small companies. And
right.
Somehow that's going to take over the economy. And so Kasich was trying to talk about that. Dana, who's not here tonight, made a good point. Earlier, he was saying that basically this question was a question for Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were going through Kasich.
So that Trump
could
jump
get
in.
Time
and, yeah.
Because they were trying to do equal time stuff.
Right, right.
And then he basically didn't answer that question at all. And talked about foreign policy and no-fly zones.
Yeah.
And cut off funding from ISIS and Israel. And he literally said out loud, we can never criticize Israel in public ever again. They are our best foreign ally.
Right.
Which I think is sort of crazy, but...
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You can never criticize Israel ever again, because they're our best ally. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's like
we
saying...
We criticize allies all the time
yeah,
if they piss
if
us off.
Yeah, and if people are crazy, you should definitely...
We criticize our own government and our own...
Yeah,
yeah.
And then he was like, by the way, we didn't talk to me earlier. I fucking love TPP. Greatest thing ever. He was like, I'm so for TPP. Just getting it out there. It has nothing to do with the question you asked. And then, then he was like, he made this weird statement about like, look, this may be the last time I get to talk tonight. He was right. And he was like, look, these debates are important because the things we say are going to matter later. And if we waver from what we say now in the general debates, we're going to lose. And he kind of was implying, like, look, we're going to lose anyway. You guys could minimize how badly we lose by not saying crazy shit.
I didn't think of that.
That they're
going
to play back in the fucking generals.
Yeah, but
I
then
really
he had a very impassioned thing that if Hillary Clinton wins, it'll be hell on earth and hellscape and 100 years of darkness. Yeah. And he's going to take
his
teenage daughters and move to Canada or something.
Right? I mean,
and then he's the only one
Lord.
That can beat her. But they all said that.
They
I'm
did.
The only one that can beat this super evil Hillary
no
Clinton monster.
No one mentioned O'Malley or Sanders.
No, they mentioned Bernie a couple times.
Did they?
Yeah, and then Carly threw a shot at socialism.
Yeah. But really, it was Hillary. It was the Hillary.
It was all like Hillary is the 800-pound monster that's wrecking our cities, and I'm the only one that can take her on.
Yes.
Which I'm sure Hillary's very happy to hear.
I mean, all they're doing is giving her free press. Thanks, guys. So the final kind of big thing we talked about was...
Wait, well, I want to jump into something else here.
Yeah.
This is where things got really incoherent and left huge openings for Hillary and Bernie and, you know, progressive punditry in general that I hope they jump on. A question was asked about the housing crisis and sort of what would you do to prevent something like that? And it was tied in with the banks being too big to fail. And these guys all had a really bizarre answer. And that was that, well, it's too much regulation that caused the housing crisis.
That's exactly what we're getting to.
And that's the exact opposite. It was, and Bill Clinton was part of this too, was there was a huge easing of bank regulations, which allowed them to make all these extra risky things and hedges.
Yeah.
And it ties in with all the commodities and, you know, buying these worthless mortgages and then chopping them up and selling them as securities
and betting against your own shorts,
yes,
knowing that they were going to fail. There's all this stuff, and they don't get into super detail about that.
No.
But
former Republican presidential candidate Phil Graham was a big part of that. He introduced that. Bill Clinton signed it into law. George W. Bush put it on steroids.
And I think we're going to have Arliss Bunny on to give us some really like good
I hope so. Yeah, I haven't talked
about
to her well,
some
but
of
yeah.
this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this is some of the stuff that they talked about tonight. So. They specifically asked about the economy and the housing crisis after all the, you know, terrorism stuff. And Bush was talking about everyone mentioned Dodd-Frank, every single one of them. And every single one of them demonized it and said, it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah,
and
it's basically the cause of all this.
It caused the crisis. Dodd-Frank, law, caused the crisis.
Like their revisionist history, like Obama caused the economy to crash, you know, before he took office, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Bush's... I thought was the most, and this is saying a lot, or nothing, actually, not much, but his seemed to make the most sort of sense. He was saying that banks should raise the cap requirements on their capital requirements because...
Yes and no, and Rand Paul was smart to point out how that's not necessarily...
did you see the thing
because if they have to raise their capital requirements, all they're going to do is move... more money into capital, they're not going to loan out.
Correct.
Yeah. Which is what they're doing now.
I know. So the whole thing that I think that made us both crazy tonight with this entire discussion was this circular logic of the government caused this to happen because banks were too big and they had too much power. So we should stop regulating banks. We both just were like, my head wants to explode.
And somehow Obama and Hillary are completely responsible.
How is it that the banks having too much power
means they should have less regulation?
I can't. They
kept hammering that, and all like they all jumped
every
on it.
Every time we were like, wait.
It seemed like it became contagious. Like every one of them was like, ooh, that sounds good.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Too much regulation means that the banks got too big, and I'm like,
Is that going to make sense to anybody? And went, wait, hold on, I didn't.
Did
hear that
they yet. Actually just say
hold
that?
On. Let me start that over. So what exactly?
So it was Elizabeth Warren. So in other words, Elizabeth Warren caused the housing crisis
by
wanting to regulate
it
too much.
Because the banks were too big and had no regulation.
That's right. Exactly. And like I said, you know, Hillary and Bernie should take these words and just pound
them. Just put them in ads.
Yeah.
And just put them on TV. Carson. Okay. Here's one of my favorites. Carson said he didn't want to talk about regulation, so he talked about policies.
Mm-hmm.
So not government regulation, government policies. So he talked about buying back stock, and we'll talk to Arliss Bunny more about that. It's a complex issue, but it's really important, and it kind of explains how people have just been able to fuck us all over. Because of bank policies and government policies, it was easy for big corporations to drive up stock prices and lead to the recession and blah, blah, blah. And because of that...
Oh, right, right. They want to enlist policies, but not regulation.
Right. Regulations are bad.
It's about semantics.
Policies might help because, quote, every regulation costs taxpayers money, which hurts poor people.
Oh, this is the Carson thing, right?
This is Carson.
Okay, okay. Yeah, this
big
is what he just...
Don't tear them down. Don't tinker with them. Don't regulate them, but have policies. Again, with this guy. I'm not making this up. I'm trying to understand.
But nobody else did much better in answering that question.
They can't
piss off their donors and say they want to regulate banks, but they have to acknowledge that the housing bubble and financial crisis and the bank bailouts were bad. So they have to sort of tie it to regulation and then say that they're going to do something about it, but they can't call it regulation. So they figure if they call it policy, that's not regulation, because regulation is a dirty word.
But Carson is such a bad politician that he talked for like 2.5 minutes
and said nothing.
And Rubio he's being groomed, I'm telling you right now, because he came back and he didn't answer the question.
He seemed like the adult in the room. Yeah.
Small banks are being hurt by big banks, which is bad.
Right.
Dodd-Frank created the too big to fail policy, and I will change it. And he literally just dropped the mic, just like, done. I'm not saying anything else. I'm not going after the Carson thing. I'm just going to go small banks good, big banks bad, Dodd-Frank bad, done.
You know, it seems to me I'm starting to think that Rubio may actually win the nomination, because he seems like one of the few candidates that's actually trying to run for president.
Yeah, he's being groomed by the party,
As opposed to just trying to sell books.
Yeah.
Or do something, or build their brand, whatever.
They know Jeb can't win. Everyone
I mean,
else
this
is
not to say Rubio isn't full of shit.
Totally
and
full of shit. Doesn't matter.
His ideas are horrible and crazy and double-talking ridiculous, but he at least sounds like a politician who's trying to win a presidency.
He didn't say all that. Like, he didn't say the things. He just said, small banks are good, big banks are bad, Dodd-Frank caused this, have a good night. Like, that's it. That is being groomed by Republican strategists to say, win this.
Yeah,
because everyone else is going to sound crazy. And you just say four words and everyone will go, well, that's
well,
not good.
Well, it's a bet that eventually sounding reasonable is going to win and sounding crazy isn't going to keep carrying you. I mean, that's what everybody still thinks. It hasn't happened
yet. Until he gets on a debate stage with Hillary Clinton.
Well, sure, sure. But, I mean, we're still talking about the GOP primary here. And is the Carson thing going to wear off? I still think it has to.
It definitely has to. There's no way. After tonight, his numbers will drop. He makes no – well, I say that, and then I think
he still got a lot of mileage. See, he was very tactful in turning around all the scrutiny of all the bullshit into, aha, see, the liberal media hates me because I'm Christian or whatever.
Right.
He'll keep getting mileage out of that for a while.
Yeah.
But that will fade eventually. And there's going to be more shit that comes up that is going to prove to be bogus, because that's another thing too, right? I mean,
let's talk about that for just a second in terms of his, like, the Carson stuff in the media this last week. It's so gold.
Well, some of it was from the Wall Street Journal.
Uh-huh.
And what are you going to call that, a liberal rag?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I covered it on the last podcast. I won't get into it too much. But Ben, a lot of bullshit from Ben Carson's book is turning up as complete bullshit, and there's going to be more.
And his reaction has been this insane, like, pushback, liberal media is awful. No, he literally said,
which works
Obama,
in the short term, yeah.
President Obama, by the way.
Yeah, they never asked
never
him any
got
questions.
Vetted,
or,
like,
yeah.
I'm being vetted, which is hilarious.
Well, the MSNBC put up a there were like 153 Jeremiah Wright stories in 2008.
Yeah. And 44 with
Rezco or whatever the fuck. Or,
and then Clinton with the Benghazi was
the
like
Benghazi is like four. And so far, there have been like 10 Ben Carson stories. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's just unbelievable how they're going after him.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Okay. So the next thing was I want to finish on this one for this housing crisis. Cruz. they said, how would you deal with it if it happened again? And he said, I would never let it happen again.
Uh-huh.
And they said, right, but if it did, what would you do?
Right.
And he really didn't want to answer that. And then he said,
Gold standard.
By gold. Hey, guys, I have a commercial on Fox about gold. No, literally, he's like, gold. I don't want to answer this question, but gold.
Oh, then
you want to ask me, hey, Fox News, I said gold 5 times. Do you want to? Yeah, I mean, it's just a.
Well, and then things got weird because then we cut to another commercial, and then we had a weird propaganda commercial against the new Federal Protection Consumer Bureau.
The consumer, yeah.
That it was gonna deny you cars or houses or something.
My God.
And then Carly Fiorina literally mentioned it. So that must be her super PAC, maybe? And she knew that ad was going to run?
So it's Elizabeth Warren's pet project. It's
right.
The Consumer Protection Board.
Right.
I think there's an F in there somewhere, but it's...
And it keeps banks from doing the shitty things like canceling your credit cards for no reason and jacking up your rates.
A lot of companies from doing things. Yeah, lots of companies. It's literally protecting consumers from shitty corporations, which... Thank you, Elizabeth Warren.
Right, and ironically, the big banks are behind the motion to try to strip all that stuff out.
Well, not ironically, like very obviously.
Well, ironically, in terms of like that whole past 20 minutes with them talking about how they're going to stop the big banks from being too big to fail.
Right, and then they were talking about, exactly, so when they came back from the commercial break, which was horrific, she was talking about how we're leading into socialism and that socialism caused the recession.
Right, right.
Because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And then she's like...
Well, then she turned it to that was a dog whistle because when all this was coming out that, you know, it was these big banks chopping up these shitty mortgages and selling them, you know, as securities and whatever. And, and like my friends who worked at real estate agents had their middle managers saying, if they have a pulse and a social security number, put them in a house. I don't care how much money's in their bank account.
Right.
I don't care because we're going to turn around and sell it. I'm going to get a huge bonus. Fuck the economy and fuck the mortgage and fuck everything.
Yeah. The big short.
And so the big short. Right. And so what happened was the people like Fox Business and the Sean Hannity's turned around
and said
it was the fault of poor black people getting mortgages they shouldn't have gotten, and it was the fault of liberals for wanting them to own houses.
Right. And they were selling people who made $20,000 a year a $300,000 house and saying, I'm sure you can afford the payment. It's an adjustable rate mortgage, so.
So your initial payment
your
is $500 a month.
But it may go up to $1,700.
They didn't say that,
don't worry.
Though.
No, but they said, read
in
the fine
print. In fact, they committed fraud.
Read the fine print.
Right.
But there is no, it's a long thing. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get
later.
Into that. Yeah.
I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah,
but anyway, she then said that the Consumer Fraud Protection Board, which Elizabeth Warren created. Thank you very much.
But that was the cause of it, according to Carly
Fiorina. Caused the recession.
So it's Elizabeth Warren who caused the Great Recession.
By the way,
according to Carly Fiorina.
That was created in 2012.
Yeah.
Just saying. It caused it 4 years earlier than it was created.
Please. Like Elizabeth,
I'm not kidding. I mean, I just don't know what to say.
Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, get on the goddamn phone and get on Meet the Press. Get on Face the Nation. Do not let them get away with this crap. Please, for the love of God, scream and shout and don't stop.
I'm a little drunk and I'm fact checking them and I'm like, what is happening right now?
But don't.
Elizabeth Warren's thing created the recession 4 years later. Are we fucking serious right now on TV? On TV, she said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
On national TV, on a major party debate stage, she said that. I know like me and Daily Kos and David Waldman aren't going to let her get away with it, but
and me aren't. But
the heavy hitters need to, and I think some of them. Well, they have to. Elizabeth Warren can't be sitting there and going and just laughing it off, right?
Well, she's going to start being used in fundraising letters, and I can tell you one thing about Elizabeth Warren that pisses her off: when they start using her for fundraising on the other side and saying, "Elizabeth Warren, did you see what?" Carly Fiorina said last night she caused the recession. Donate to me $5. She's going to get pissed. Not because Carly Fiorina said something wrong, although that'll piss her off. She's going to be like, don't you dare use the agency I created to protect consumers to imagine some fantasy land and where that created
where
the
we're
recession.
Trying to roll back regulations
Fuck
on
you.
The banks?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, see, are the
And then this weird ad, what was that? The whole thing, you guys. I can't even.
Yeah, it was like a huge weird propaganda night, but so very surface level. I mean, here's the thing. Are the fact checkers going to get just bored and overwhelmed with all the bullshit that's coming out of the Republican side?
They cannot. That is their job.
I don't know.
All right. I want to do the final thing because this was really big. So the closing, Hillary, mm-hmm. they said, literally, this is Fox News, you guys. Fox Business, sorry.
Same shit.
Hillary Clinton is the most qualified candidate for president of the United States.
She has the most experience, is what they said.
And the most qualified. The most experience in foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
And the most qualified candidate, basically because she's been involved in the White House for more than anyone in history.
For 30 years, yeah.
Yeah. How do you respond to that? The entire audience booed.
I thought they laughed or booed. Well,
no, they booed. They went, boo, boo. You can't say that. And then they went right to Rubio, who is the least experienced, but in the last debate said...
Had the shrewdest answer.
If this is an argument about experience, Hillary Clinton already won this election. So he basically covering his
flank, yeah.
This was the craziest part. So Rubio is, how old? Like 40-something?
I think he's 44. Yeah,
like
he's
that. Young. He said, this is a generational choice. And I was like, goddamn right it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went with the other generation. And he said, in which this
family
is a
values.
New humiliation mm-hmm. for the U.S. because we aren't embracing our family values from the 50s and we are embracing this new culture. And I went, wait. Oh, my God, Rubio. It is a generational choice.
Mm-hmm.
Your generational choice. And you just chose the one that's dying. That's crazy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that weird?
Yes and no. I mean, it was obviously very well prepared. You know.
I mean, I know he's running for a Republican, but he's not of their generation.
No, but he needs their vote.
Does that make them feel better?
No,
that
he
he's
needs
young he agrees with them or something.
Maybe, but he needs all the old white people to show up and vote for him.
It was weird. Yeah. I thought it was weird. I was like, oh, Rubio, maybe you'll get the Latino vote. Like you won't. Ted Cruz.
This guy, he's the scariest of
Hillary,
them all, I think.
Every region in the world has gotten worse since Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's totally Hillary Clinton's fault that the Middle East erupted.
Oh, right.
With
yeah.
Egypt.
With the Arab Spring.
The Arab Spring.
Yeah.
And all of that is Hillary Clinton's fault. So she should definitely not be president because all that happened on her watch. That was his answer.
Pretty standard.
It's pretty funny. Trump, capitalism is great.
Let me interject. I thought Trump was a buffoon tonight.
He was not as good as last time. Yeah,
I think the luster has to start wearing off.
Yeah.
Past the buzzwords. I don't think he has read a word of TPP. I don't think he read a word of the Iran deal. I don't think he's really, he's taking it seriously in his Donald Trump way, but you know, it's hard to imagine this guy's going to be taken as a serious candidate much longer. Of course, I keep thinking that about Carson and Trump, keep coming out on top.
I know.
But we're still 3 months from Iowa.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be surprised. I mean, I think Carson could win Iowa still, no matter what, because of all the evangelicals. But past that,
I think he'll win Iowa. I don't know beyond that.
Trump's still leading in New Hampshire.
Well,
but
of course. Carson's not going to win New Hampshire. Let's be honest.
But see, we're slowly and surely getting more down to brass tacks. And then when Trump and Carson have to talk about policy, they very quickly show how they're completely not qualified and not serious candidates. Carly does a better job of on the surface seeming serious, but I think that's thin too.
If she ever became the front runner, she'd be the next Ben Carson, which is let's tear apart everything you've said and all of its bullshit.
Right, and I don't think there's much more.
The liberal media
she
too,
even went back to the Sixth Fleet thing again,
yeah.
And she started talking about let's arm every country in the Middle East that's sort of our ally, even though we're already arming most of them.
She literally named a whole bunch of them that were like, "All right, well,
we need to arm the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and
the Bahrainis, and the Egyptians." She literally said the Egyptians,
Egypt's a little complicated.
Complicated,
like the Muslim Brotherhood is fighting with.
Yeah. It's a civil war there
right now.
And
then remnants of the Mubarak regime.
Let's just drop a bunch of guns into Egypt
and
we'll arm them.
And what could go wrong?
Never be bad.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weirdly irresponsible, crazy thing to say.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
All right. They asked Rand Paul about climate change, finally. And Rand Paul and Jeb Bush both answered that question.
While sort of acknowledging it might be a thing.
Yeah, both of them kind of did. The moderators asked Rand Paul specifically, like, you've acknowledged climate change is a thing.
Of course, their way to address it is to burn a bunch of coal.
Right. Well, and then so he was like,
okay.
He's like,
oh, yeah, it's a thing. So let's burn a bunch of coal.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I said that. However, I'd like to repeal the Clean Power Act. Nature has a role too. Balance the, you know, environment with the economy. And coal's not so bad. Yeah. And we'll have gas too. That's literally.
It's a thing, but we're not going to do anything about it. And then Bush said, well, we did reduce carbon emissions
in Florida. That was kinda good. And that's jobs. And then he's like, okay, this is no joke. He's like, an environmental cleanup is a great job creator.
Yeah. You know why? Because Jeb Bush and Rick Scott are the craziest, most like mustache twirling environmental polluters you could imagine. And then some people don't realize how bad it is in Florida.
Like, but you can't say out loud, you know, what's a great job creator? What we love about climate change? Oil spills.
It's in what
oil
he said.
Spills are basically my fucking hard on. I get so many jobs out of oil spills that I love to let oil companies come into Florida, spill their shit, and it creates hundreds of thousands of jobs.
They're spilling
for
way
years
more than
come.
Just oil in Florida.
He
it's
said,
crazy.
He literally
it's crazy.
Said, right. Environmental cleanup, great job creator.
But at the same
what
time,
does that mean?
At the same time, he implicitly said climate change is a thing we
he
should
did.
Think about.
They both
which
did.
I don't think is going to help him with the base. So Jeb Bush said two things tonight that are probably going to stick out, and the Rush Limbaughs of the world are probably going to bring this up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He said, we can't deport all the immigrants. He agreed with Kasich.
Yes.
On that. And just to take a shot at Trump. And then he also said that we reduced carbon emissions as if that's a good thing. Well, the Republican is, you know, the base of the Republican Party still denies climate change is a thing we should care about at all.
Even acknowledge actually exists by human cause.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the two of them acknowledging that.
And nobody else touched it.
Not a great idea. No one else touched it.
No.
Rand Paul was talking about the same bullshit fiscal conservatism. If you don't conserve all the money, then
you're not really
basically
conservative.
Basically, if you spend any money ever, you're not a fiscal conservative.
Even on the military.
At all. Even, yeah, no.
Which is not going to help him
even
with
on the
base.
Military. Yeah. Not literally no taxes. There should be no government. He's like,
yeah, basically.
Don't collect taxes and don't spend taxes. There
don't do anything.
No
and
taxes,
therefore elect me
so
president
that
of
I can
nothing.
Not be the president of anything because fuck the government. That sounds great. Anarchy party. You know, yeah. The Freedom Caucus must love him.
Some of them do. Some of them don't.
And then Kasich's closing was like, goodbye, Felicia. He just was like, wealth, connection, family, and America's great. That was literally the last line he said.
Yeah.
Wealth, connection, family.
Kasich is so weird to me.
America
like,
is great.
He'll
what does that mean?
He'll have these tirades means. Where he's like, all these other people are crazy. Let's stop talking about getting rid of everybody's insurance and kicking out all the immigrants. Because they all yelled about repealing Obamacare, of course. Which, again, this is a past the base. You know, the repealing Obamacare thing has lost its luster with the majority of Americans. They're not into it anymore.
No.
Not really. I mean, there's still a lot of people who don't like it, but the majority is like enough
in,
with the Obamacare
enough,
shit
enough,
anymore.
Yeah. Supreme Court decided it's fine.
It's done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're still, you know, harping. Oh, and that's the big problem in the economy is the Obamacare is killing all the jobs and whatever. Yeah.
And we'll find out.
Of course, this is on the heels of a great jobs report just a couple days ago. The British guy did bring up like, under Clinton, we had this many jobs a month. Under Bush, under Obama, this many jobs. Under Bush, like a horrible, terrible, paltry amount. And it was just kind of glossed over.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was Jeb Bush. And he went, what I would like to do. And he just didn't answer the fucking question. He just was like, anyway, I don't want to talk about my brother. I was going to say about the thing earlier about Syria and just like didn't answer the question.
Okay.
They didn't push him because the last time they pushed anybody, all the contracts got canceled. So I guess we're being a little delicate with these people now. All right. So the final comments. Let's see. Fiorina, Clinton's bad. I'm the only one that can beat her. We have to have the strongest military.
Without saying because I'm a woman or something.
Yeah. She's really trying to get away from that. But then she said this, which really made me want to crawl through the TV and not do the thing Clinton got in trouble for saying was fine, but kind of do that thing.
Right.
I will not allow the Clinton way, which erodes the morality of America and degrades the character of our nation.
See, and they all kind of...
The Clinton way.
Well, they all kind of rode this thing. And they're, again, this is where the echo chamber comes in. The name Clinton, for the most part, Americans, I mean, they're not crazy about Hillary necessarily, but they're under this idea that everybody hated Bill Clinton.
They're still mad about the blowjob. Is that what they think?
I don't know.
I think that's what they think.
I don't know.
Most beloved American president alive, except maybe now Jimmy Carter. But honestly, Bill Clinton is beloved.
No. A lot of people still are not crazy about Carter as a president, as a humanitarian, sure. But
Bill Clinton, he's beloved.
Yeah. Bill Clinton left with like 70% approval rating or something crazy like that.
So talking about the Clinton way as though that blowjob still matters and she is somehow this like ice queen or something that they believe is total fucking nonsense.
Yeah. It's like echo chamber.
And it's offensive. And especially watching her after those hearings, saying shit like that is like, you want to go? I'm not going to strangle you through the TV, but I'll take you into the fucking parking lot. Like, we'll have a little rouse. Don't talk about her like that.
Well,
it's not the Clinton way. It's not about morality and values. That kind of shit just makes people like me go, oh, really?
Well, did she help herself enough to put herself up higher?
No.
She's still at 6-7%.
She's still a woman in the Republican Party. She's never going to get the nomination.
Well, the black guy.
Yeah, he's not either. Sorry, guys.
But for now, he is, though.
Yeah, no, neither one of them. No. Definitely not.
So they're going to, the next guy up is the Hispanic guy?
Yeah, because what? It's going to be Bush, man. It's going to be Bush. I'm sorry. He knows it too. That's why he's still in the race.
He can't inspire any of the base.
Then
they hate him.
It'll be Rubio because then they'll feel progressive.
Okay.
And then he'll get eaten alive and
but
it'll
they're
be
still they're still not crazy about him. He was for immigration reform.
He still is, kind of.
No, he's against it now.
Let's see. He said
he was for comprehensive immigration before with Paul Ryan.
Oh yeah,
and then
neither
both disavowed
them
it.
That now.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
of
yeah.
course not.
No.
Yeah, he said, you know, small. Again, I'm telling you, he's being groomed by Republican establishment.
Oh, absolutely.
His
sure.
closing statement was this: smaller government, larger enterprise, the new American century. Again, drop the mic. Like, that's all he said. He didn't say anything offensive. He didn't say anything crazy. He didn't say anything provocative or even interesting.
Well, the Beltway loves him. They really want him to be the guy.
They're grooming him to be the guy.
Yeah.
They are. Without the weird water drinking thing and all that, they're just like, everyone else is nuts. At least you're controllable.
Okay, so we always overestimate, as does the Beltway press, how these debates change. I don't know when the next GOP debate is, but when... How do you think this shakes out, if anything? Does this affect – does this hurt – it would seem to hurt Carson, but nothing seems to hurt Carson.
You know my opinion about Carson.
Trump is still hanging in there. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Bush helped himself.
Kasich is gone.
I would think so.
Bye to him. He's done.
I would think so.
He said like two or three things tonight that he's out. He's definitely done.
Carly got a lot of applause lines. So did she help herself?
So Christy Huckabee Santorum and whoever else.
Well, they didn't
was
even make
the
stage.
Yeah,
they're
no,
out.
But so I'm just saying those people are gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Gone. Gosh. Yeah. Cruz
didn't bring anything new to the table.
And he just appears sleazy and unreliable.
Too rehearsed for this GOP crowd who's screaming about the outsiders, and he seems very much like an insider, even though he calls himself an outsider.
Yeah. Even my Republican people in my life are like, I don't trust that guy.
good.
Rand Paul is too libertarian.
Yeah, I mean, he's got all his old dad supporters, but I can't see him making any traction with the let's reduce the military spending thing.
I think
nobody's going to go for that.
And I think after...
None of the Republicans,
this week
at least.
With Ben Carson, and then this debate, I'm going to go on record here as saying he was the flavor of the week until we vetted him, and he's going to be out in like 2-3 weeks. Not out.
I don't know.
He might last till Iowa, but he's going to be the Herman Cain. He's going to be in the back of the van with no staff, hoping someone votes for him, Herman Cain style. You know what I mean? Think? Like, yeah, he's going to go way down in the polls. Cain crashed and burned.
Was it
Newt Gingrich then that was in the back of the van? And he was like, had a sign, and he's like, no staff, but it was Iowa. And it was the last like couple hundred bucks he had, and he's like, I'm just waiting. Like, that's going to be Ben Carson.
I think he's still going to do really well in Iowa. I think he's going to still do really well in Iowa.
No, I disagree.
No. He sold them.
He doesn't make sense, and he's
They don't need him to make sense. He loves Jesus, and Joseph built the pyramids and stored grain
Joseph
in him.
And no evolution,
and the dinosaurs were running around with Barney Rubble, and... Right. So they love that shit. They eat that up.
All right, you're right. I have no ability to predict these things because I think they're all fucking nuts.
Now, past Iowa, that's when I could see the cliff fall. Because remember, didn't Michelle Bachmann win Iowa? Well,
she won the straw poll.
Who won the caucus?
But Ben Huckabee.
Huckabee won. Okay, and what happened to both of them last
election? Huckabee was number two. Actually, no, I think that's not true. I think Santorum won Iowa. But okay. Huckabee was number two to McCain, which is also insane. But it's fine. I mean... Travis, I don't understand. I missed Huckabee and Christie on that stage. Me too. Christie in particular. No, both.
Because Huckabee would say something horribly disgusting and Christie would bully somebody.
Which I want to do the whole time I'm watching it. There's no bullies left, and Trump's not bullying people anymore. So now I just get depressed and my head hurts.
Yeah.
So I drink. I'm sorry, you guys. I hope I made sense.
All right, that's depressing. That's going to be about it. My takeaway is, oh my God, there is so much ammunition for Bernie and Hillary and Elizabeth Warren.
They better fucking take it.
And the real progressives to just storm, just crush these people with their bullshit tonight. And I really hope they do.
Me too.
Much more so than last debate.
Yeah.
Last debate was a lot more generalities and crap. And like this one, they really
specifically hit Hillary. Hit him fucking back, Hill.
I don't even mean so much for the personal stuff against her. I mean for the bullshit about trying to tie regulation in with the housing crisis.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren.
The Consumer Fraud Protection Board caused the goddamn recession 4 years later. Like, come on, you guys.
Yes. Don't let them.
Do the thing.
Don't let them get away with it.
No,
please. For the love of God.
Please. Agreed.
So. Yeah, that's going to about wrap it up. I'm going to try to get in touch with Arla, see if we can get her on pretty soon, and we can have our big economics podcast.
Yeah, since we've done the two Republican economic debates, let's see if we can actually break down what actually happened and what we can talk about with the economy in, like, layman's terms.
Well, she's the expert.
She is the expert.
She's got a PhD, and she's written books on it.
Layman's, so we can explain it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So that we can all understand how wrong they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to wrap it up. I am Travis as usual.
Rachel.
And tune in next time for some more good political stuff. Bye-bye.